Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be, and within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today I have Dr. Chaxfield with me, otherwise known as Lawrence Chaxfield, and we're going to talk about D for Doctor. Lawrence is very early on in his medical career, although he has studied for a full 6 years at university to qualify. He's now at the beginning of 2 years training as a junior doctor before he then selects his area of specialisation in the medical profession. Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us. And I'd love to start off by just hearing a summary of your journey from when you were at school until now.
I went to school in a school called Tanbridge House School, which is in West Sussex, which is down south of England near Brighton.
And what sort of school was it?
It was a comprehensive school, and it was average.
Tell us a little bit about you at school. Were you sporty? Were you academic?
Not too sporty. I think I kind of preferred kind of going out with my mates on a Friday night.
And yep.
Drinking a bit too much.
Were you a sports fan?
Yeah, quite like rugby.
And tell us about your academics. What did you do at GCSE?
So at GCSE, I did the kind of usual math, science, English. And then also I did Spanish, history and IT and art.
And how did you do?
I did all right. I got 4A stars, 4As, 4Bs and a D in art, which was my weakness.
Interesting that you say that was your weakness. What did you go on to do at A-level then?
At A-level, I went on to do maths, double maths, chemistry, physics, and then later biology.
And was that because you knew what you wanted to do, that you wanted to be a doctor or?
No, so I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do at the age of 16, and I got kind of quite bad careers advice. But I knew when all my A stars were kind of maths and sciences, I thought I'd kind of play to my strengths, and so that's why I picked sciences for A-levels.
And did you have any advice from parents or anything like that?
So I think my mum was quite keen for me to do A-levels, but I didn't really have much in the way of kind of advice or input from that.
And what about at school? Did you have much careers advice at school?
We did. Everyone had to go and see the school's careers advisor, but unfortunately they didn't really give me that good advice at school.
Do you remember what advice you did get?
I said that I wanted to work for the United Nations because I kind of was really kind of into helping people and wanted to do something good. And they told me that if I wanted to help people that I should kind of go and work in the job centre handing out unemployment benefit.
There you were, a person wanting to help people and extremely good at sciences, and no one mentioned about being a doctor at that point.
No, so if they'd actually kind of looked and seen kind of what all my grades were that so far, they would have actually seen that sciences were the one thing that I was, you know, really good at. I think it's interesting being kind of 15, 16, you're not necessarily kind of on top. You don't, you know, if you're not confident, you don't know if you are good at something. But, I got A stars, so I was, but they didn't really feed into that. And be like, you want to help people, you're good at science.
But you instinctively knew that, you know, you ought to sort of do A-levels in what you were good at.
Yes.
And that's what you then proceeded to do. So did you do that at the same school?
No, my school didn't have a sixth form, so I went somewhere else to do that.
Okay. And how did you do with your A-levels?
I got 4 A's and a B.
And at that point, did you then know what you wanted to do?
About kind of a couple of months into my AS levels, I had a friend of mine who he was interested in medicine. And no one had ever really said to me kind of, you know, what about being a doctor? This is a thing. Just no one ever really kind of said that that was an option.
And were you thinking, as you were sort of progressing through your A-levels then, you know, prior to this conversation, were you thinking of any other types of careers at that point, or was it just something you hadn't thought about at that point?
So in terms of other careers, I thought maybe I might do sciences at university, so maybe chemistry, or even if maths was my strong suit, maybe doing something like finance.
So you had this conversation and someone told you about being a doctor.
And then suddenly it clicked and I kind of realised that being a doctor would be a really kind of cool job. Like, it's kind of, you get to use science, but also you get to kind of help people. And it's...
Before we go on to talk about the next stage, did you do any form of work experience or, you know, any Saturday jobs or anything like that during your time at school and college?
I did Duke of Edinburgh kind of bronze and silver when I was doing my GCSEs. And in that, I had to do some volunteering. So I worked at Oxfam for a few months. Also, later on, when I decided that I wanted to do medicine, I realised that I had to do work experience. So I went and worked in a local hospital for a week.
And what was it like, you know, when you're doing the volunteering at Oxfam? What things did you learn?
I think I learned a bit about kind of interacting with the public and kind of being professional. If I'm being totally honest, I think it also made me realise that I didn't want to work in retail and I wanted to do something that wasn't that.
And when you did the work experience in the hospital, what did you learn there?
I think I went into it kind of quite selfishly thinking, well, I need to do this because I need to put this on UCAS, I need to put this on my personal statement, and it's kind of a means to an end, you know, not that I don't want to be here, but it's just a thing. But actually, in getting to do that work experience, it taught me that I did want to be a doctor, and I kind of looked at the doctors working there and I thought, actually, this is quite a nice job. I do want to do this.
I mean, there's two points there that I wanted to bring out. The first thing is that, you know, you were at Oxfam doing your volunteering, and one thing it did teach you is that you didn't want to do retail. And we find very often that people do work experience, and it's just as important to establish what you don't want to do as it is to work out what you do want to do. So I would always advocate any forms of volunteering, work experience. But equally, you know, you were saying that you went and did this work, this week's worth of work experience at the hospital, and it was a means to an end to put it on your personal statement or whatever. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. And I always say to people, these extracurricular activities are absolutely critical so that you can get these extra things on your CV so that when it comes to being selected for university, for employment, you know, you've got these extra things in addition to your qualifications. I can completely understand you doing that. But the great thing from your perspective is, having gone into the hospital, it cemented what you thought you wanted to do.
Yeah. And I think I had that a lot throughout A-levels with extracurricular activities that people tell you need to do them and it's quite annoying. But actually, in those, you do learn different skills, and actually you can then use those kind of in work and kind of develop you and round you out as a character.
Yeah. You decided that you wanted to do medicine. What's the process, or what was the process for you for applying to medical school?
To become a doctor, everyone needs to go to university. And so there's 33 medical schools in the country, all up and down the land. So if you want to kind of go to uni near you, there's probably one near you. And to do that, you need to do UCAS. So you need a personal statement. With medicine, it's a little bit earlier. The deadline's usually mid-October, so you need to get everything lined up.
And is that in your lower sixth or your upper sixth?
UCAS will be in your A2 year. Also, with work experience, pretty much every medical school want you to do a period of work experience to prove that you understand what the work of a doctor is.
And that's okay for you for that just to be a week, for example, which is what
you
did. Yeah,
it can be anything as kind of low as a week, but you'd need to have done that by the time you had done your personal statement, so you can write it into your personal statement to explain why. And the other thing with medical schools is that there are entrance exams which are separate to A-levels, so you'd need to prepare for those a little bit before the application.
And how do you prepare for those?
First of all, there's kind of three different ones, the UK CAT, BMAT and GAMSAT, and each uni will want one. And so once you know which unis you might apply to, you'll know which exams you might need to take. I know some people that only wanted to do one exam, so they just picked all UK CAT unis. And there's kind of revision resources online, and they're kind of aptitude tests, which will test your maths, kind of also kind of just general aptitude, logical reasoning, stuff like that.
Okay. And then do you have interviews or anything as well?
Every medical school will interview. So you submit your applications via UCAS, and then if they're considering you, they'll ask you to kind of go to the university for interview, and they'll kind of go and interview you. And a lot of it, it's not even necessarily just testing how good you are at science. It's what sort of person are you? Are you kind of, you're going to make a good doctor? And in a way, that's actually kind of nice that you just can sit there and just kind of prove that you're a kind of nice person.
Yeah. Basically, you're talking about a five-year study period after you finish your A-levels if
Correct.
You want to qualify as a doctor. Okay, just getting back to your story then. Firstly, I'll just you mentioned that you really do need to do a bit of work experience, even if it is just for a short period of time, so that you can put that in your personal statement. And you did this week in a hospital. How did you get that week's worth of work experience?
I was quite lucky in that my mum knew a doctor and asked them if I could come and shadow them for a short period of time. But for those, actually, if I'd say to students considering medicine, if you don't have any doctors in the family or you're kind of none in your kind of social network, then write to your hospital. They're really good at actually knowing that not everyone knows doctors. And so write to your local hospital and I'm sure they will offer you something.
You obviously embarked on this process and you were successful. And where did you go to study medicine?
So I studied at Barts in London, which is one of the London medical schools.
And tell us how that went.
It went okay, although actually I did struggle a bit academically in the third year, and midway through the course I almost wasn't sure that it was for me.
And why was that, do you think? Was it harder than you thought? Or
I struggled quite a bit academically. Later on, I was diagnosed with dyslexia, which I think after that diagnosis had come through, and then I worked out actually that I wasn't struggling academically because I wasn't just bright enough. It was actually that I needed to kind of process the information in a different way.
Right.
And then things resolved.
Tell us what happened towards the latter part of it, because I know that during the latter part, you have to do a lot of placements and things, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, so the first 2 or 3 years of medical school, depending on where you go to, are quite lecture-based and quite tutorial-based, where they kind of just teach you the fundamentals of kind of how the human body works and all the anatomy and physiology. And then the latter few years are placement base. So I did placements on pretty much every different specialty. So one in cardiology, so one in kind of hearts, one in psychiatry. I did a surgical placement and did general practice placements. And so actually you get to rotate around and actually see all the different kind of specialties of doctors and how they work. And
so where did you do all your placements?
I did all of mine in the East End of London and Essex.
And do you sort of select those locations, or do they just tell you where to go?
You've got some choice in it, in so much as you can only pick kind of the East End, Essex. Although on your medical school, you'll go to kind of the surrounding area of where the university is.
So that's part of the sort of selection criteria when you're deciding which medical schools to apply for. You know that you're going to end up doing your placements.
Yes.
In areas surrounding those.
And that is one of the advice I'd give to people considering medicine who are putting an application in, is when you apply to university, it's 5 years you've got to spend there. And yeah. You've got to work out, do you want to live there for half a decade?
And you're also, it's about the last 3 years, isn't it, that you go off and do all of these placements?
Yes.
And then during that last 3 years, what percentage of time are you actually doing the placements?
It's about 80% on placement and about 20% in the classroom.
So huge amount of work experience as such.
Yeah, it's a massive amount.
And during that time, you get to see tons of different types of medicine, different types of, different aspects of the profession, I suppose, do you?
Yeah, so you get kind of exposed to pretty much every different specialty, and then within that kind of most kind of procedures and kind of common diseases and complaints.
And then at the end of the 5th year, does it all culminate in exams, or do those exams take place all the way through?
It varies a bit from school to school, but you tend to have exams mostly every year to progress through to the next one. And then in your final year, you kind of have big kind of final exams to kind of prove that you can kind of complete the course and move on.
So you completed your 5 years and you became Dr. Chaxfield?
Yes, I did.
And how did that feel?
Very strange. It's still a little bit strange when colleagues call me Dr. Chaxfield at work.
And does that mean that, you know, if you're on an aeroplane or something and someone says the doctor in the house, that you then have to jump up now?
That does mean that you kind of have to go and do that. It hasn't happened to me yet, but I'm sure at some point it will do.
But in some ways, it's just a start, because then after that, you then get your first job, don't you?
Yes.
So how does that work, and how did it work for you?
The way it works is that in your final year of medical school, you apply to work in the NHS, and you put down kind of where you want to work, and the NHS will then allocate everyone to a different hospital. And so then it's after medical school that you're then working as a doctor and being paid, which feels nice to be paid off.
Absolutely.
After five years at uni.
And you do that, what, for 2 years, don't you?
Yes. For the first 2 years, you do what are called foundation years. So you work six different jobs, so in different specialties. And again, that is just to allow you to get a feel for what the jobs are and to kind of make you start considering what you might want to do long term, and you have to pick your specialty.
Tell us about your circumstances, because you've literally, this is the stage that you're at now, isn't it?
Yep. So I'm 2 months into the job. I'm working in Basingstoke Hospital, which is in Hampshire in the southeast, and I'm currently working on surgery.
Okay. So what does that involve on a day-to-day basis?
So it's a varied job. Just this week, on Monday, I started the morning by helping out with an operation. So that was kind of in the operating theatre, helping to kind of remove someone's gallbladder. And then in the afternoon, that would be ward rounds. So I'd go and see all the patients, see how they're doing, are they getting kind of sicker or better. Then taking, you know, bloods from them, and then also then interpreting those bloods. Are they getting better? And then working out, do you need to prescribe them some new medications?
And we hear lots about, you know, doctors being overworked and working ridiculous hours and things like that. How many hours a day do you work? Do you work at weekends, nights? What's your sort of normal, typical week in terms of working hours?
On average, I work about 45 hours a week. My standard working day is 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. But as a doctor, I'm also asked to work some weekends and evenings.
What are the things about it so far that you really love and that you enjoy most?
So I really enjoy the talking to patients and actually kind of hearing their concerns and being able to fix it. And the other thing I like is getting to use kind of things like science and maths and skills you learn at school, where it's never really realize actually that they have proper use. And actually every day I get to go in, use that knowledge.
And what about the biggest challenges?
I think the biggest challenge is that it can actually be quite a stressful environment sometimes, and actually you do have to make decisions quite quickly. And it's also that you're in a constant state of learning, that actually, even though once you finish medical school, you're actually just kind of at the start of your journey, not at the end of it. And I think at the moment for me, it's quite frustrating knowing that I kind of don't know everything, can't do everything, and I still need to kind of ask for a lot of help at times.
I suppose it's like any new job, a new profession, isn't it? You sort of, although you've done a huge amount of studying and lots of work placements, this is your first formal position, and so you come in at the beginning, and like in any profession, you have to sort of work your way up and, you know, feel very much the new person and find your way around.
It's everything from kind of, you know, not knowing kind of who to talk to about certain things and where to find things kind of.
Tell us about the attributes that you think that you need to be successful in this profession.
I think you've got to be quite good at sciences and quite good at kind of thinking about things logically and how things work and kind of what the next step is and how to fix things. And the other thing is you've got to have quite good social skills, actually, talking to patients to kind of get that information out. And first of all, actually just kind of, you know, get the information from them, actually, what are their symptoms? What are they worried about? What's going on? And then from there, also kind of reassuring them and kind of letting them know that you are going to help.
And what about being able to overcome any squeamishness? Because I'm sure that there are some people that maybe love sciences and things like that, but maybe they don't relish the thought of, you know, touching somebody else's sort of bad bits or whatever. I don't know.
I think when I first went into it, I thought, yeah, that's fine. Absolutely. I can go and touch their bad bits, as you say. But then you get to it and actually it is a bit weird.
Yeah.
But you quickly get over it. And if anything, the patient feels kind of 10 times more awkward than you do.
Oh,
so it's
of
fine.
Of course. Yeah.
I think you do have to have a lot of human compassion, to be a doctor, because you're dealing with people at their kind of most kind of vulnerable points in their lives. And also you're dealing with people that sometimes do die. You know, we all die. Mm. And that's something that kind of draws a lot of negative emotions from patients and their family. And you need to have that compassion to deal with them.
So after your 2 years of being the junior doctor and working through the different departments, what happens then?
In your second year of being a doctor, you'll probably start to work out or have a think about what you want to do next. So the thing which I love about medicine is there really is something for everyone, in that actually if you like doing kind of working with your hands, there's surgery. If you like kind of talking to people a lot, there's psychiatry. You know, if you like working with children, there's pediatrics. And then you'll start to think about actually what you want to do, and then you'll apply for your specialties. So after your 2 years of working as a junior doctor, you then apply to do a specialty.
And how long do these specialisms take to study for?
They can vary. So if you want to be a GP, for example, that's 3 years of training. Whereas if you wanted to be a surgeon, that can be 7 years of training.
So if you want to be a surgeon, you're effectively talking about 14 years in total.
Yes.
5 years at uni, 2 years a junior doctor, and then further 7 years of training.
Yeah.
Wow. What else can it lead to, this career as a doctor?
Outside of working kind of, you know, in the NHS as a doctor on the specialties, there's a few other things you can do with it. One of which would be working in research. So you'd actually work to kind of pioneer new drugs, new kind of therapies, and actually be the kind of the new generation of medicines to kind of fight disease. The other thing you can do with medicine is that you can travel. You can work for kind of humanitarian agencies such as Doctors Without Borders or the Red Cross, and kind of go kind of anywhere in the world.
Mm. Doing humanitarian work.
Yeah.
Any other areas?
Public health, that's one that you can definitely do. So actually, how do you prevent things? So strategies like to stop people smoking. If you stop people smoking, then actually you can stop kind of rates of lung cancer. And I mean, also you can do things like have a media career. So I don't know if anyone's watched Embarrassing Bodies, but that's kind of one area that it can take you to.
That's a fantastic summary of how to become a doctor. Thank you so much, Lawrence. For those individuals who are sitting here listening to us and are now really inspired to become a doctor and follow in your footsteps, what would you suggest to them? They do have to go to uni, don't they?
Yes, it is university. And you've got a few more steps that you need to do, unlike other courses. So what I would say is, if you're thinking about this, it's probably quite a bit of forward planning to think, what extra exams have I got to take? When am I going to take those? Also getting work experience in place, and also knowing that the deadline for your UCAP submission will be mid-October, so it'll be earlier than the rest.
So that's mid-October in your A2 year?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, there are some people that they work out they want to be a doctor actually a little bit later or after they've started A-levels. So there are a couple of different options that you can pursue. One of those is an access to medicine course. So that will be offered by a college or university. And it would be for people that maybe didn't do so well at A-levels or actually did non-science A-levels. And so that course will actually kind of teach them the sciences and kind of get them ready to then apply to university.
And are these different colleges to ones that are included on the list of the 33?
Yes, those are different ones. However, also some of the medical schools in the UK offer what is called a foundation year. So you apply not to a 5-year course, but to a 6-year course. So if you had done A-levels in art type subjects, but you know you wanted to be a doctor, you'd apply to do that extra year with them, and they would then teach you all the maths and science you needed to then get on and succeed with the medicine course.
If there are individuals who've decided that, or maybe listening to this, who are not doing A-levels, but they're doing BTECs, which are equivalent to A-levels, is that still going to get them access to the 33 medical schools?
No. So most courses won't accept BTECs. Although I would say, look at the kind of prospectuses and look at UCAS and see what they do offer. Some, if you are doing BTECs, they might want you to then go on to do an access course, or you might be able to go from BTECs into doing a medicine course with a foundation year.
Fantastic. So there's lots of routes in.
So there are options, yeah.
Lawrence, thank you so much. If anybody wants to actually have a bit more of a detailed look at your profile, maybe even ask you some questions, could they contact you?
Yeah, please feel free to contact me on LinkedIn. That'd be great.
And how do you spell your surname for us?
My surname is spelled C-H-A-C-K-S-F-I-E-L-D.
Dr. Chaxfield, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure listening to you.
Thank you for having me.